Hi, my name's Greg. I'm the family director here at Good Life, and my family and I have been part of this community for about 15 years now, and we just love it. Today we're continuing our series on the Beatitudes. I'm an ex-school teacher, and at my old school, where I taught year six for a number of years, we actually did a study on the Beatitudes, and I divided it into the two words, Beatitudes, because while we're learning about these heavenly principles that Jesus taught, there's actually, I love that here at Good Life, we're diving in to find out, well, what are the applications from those and what are the implications for us here and now? They present this invitation to live life differently, a countercultural invitation, and they suggest some practical life changes. Currently, I'm studying psychology, and this is a real issue that the field grapples with. It's the gap between our knowledge and our intention and our actual behaviours. We continue to drive fossil fuel cars, eat too much sugar and meat. All these things that are at odds with what we know is best for us at times. But unless we're really intentional, and unless we dive in and do some things, we're actually just going to build our knowledge and not actually change how we live. And I think that's the beautiful thing about being part of the Good Life community, is that you're invited into spaces like this, life groups, communities of people, like-minded people who actually are going to support you on that journey of change. Because we don't want to just know more about God, we actually want to grow to be more like God. And if we're created in God's image, I think that's the call of these Beatitudes, is to align ourselves with His kingdom and create it here and now as much as we can. Last week we heard from Hannah, and she spoke about blessed are the peacemakers, or reaching across differences in order to make peace. And this week I'm tackling blessed are the persecuted for doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This presents the invitation to the way of surrender presented by Mark Scandrett. And this is a beautiful reminder that once again, the oppressed, the persecuted are not forgotten by God, but in fact, they're central to His kingdom and they should be central to our minds. People that are often forgotten by society and the world around, but they should actually be the forefront of us. And while being a white Australian, I certainly feel quite unqualified to speak about persecution, but I can't pretend that Jesus' words don't apply to me, because as always, they go deeper. There's a heart issue. There's something that I need to consider and can apply to my life. So I want to step into that with you today. And I think there's three implications from this invitation to surrender. And they are a call to action and not comfort, to surrender, not revenge, and to be intentional in our thoughts, not apathetic. So the first one, I call to action and not comfort. I actually grew up in Toowoomba on the Great Dividing Range. It borders a lot of farmland, a lot of rich farmland. And yeah, as a young man, I thought today I would be a cowboy. I thought that was my future. And yeah, I invested in a Nakubra, riding boots, R.M. Williams, way before they were cool. A stockman's whip, which I could crack quite confidently. I believe I still could if I had one here right now. But that was my goal in life. And anyway, I loved spending time out on my relatives' farms. I had a few around the area. And I remember one in particular where Mum and Dad dropped me off and I pretty much disappeared for the week. We'd head to the river. We would roll out the swags, we would go fishing, shooting, riding motorbikes, we'd be building cubby houses in the hay shed. We'd be living every young cowboy's dream. Eventually we'd have to head back to the house and I'd see my parents again for maybe the first time all week. And I remember one event that Mum just looks at me with shock and horror on her face as she realizes and points out to me that actually they were the same clothes I was wearing at the beginning of the week. And upon reflection and discussion, I realized that I had not once brushed my teeth, showered, or even changed my clothes during this period. I was sent to the bathroom quickly, which I can't say really solved the problem, because living on a farm and water was scarce at that time, You just have to join the queue. And depending where you fell, you could be in the same bathwater of between 1 and 15 people, depending who was visiting that at that time. But things have changed. Today, I can't say I really love camping for more than 1 or 2 nights. It's stretching it. I much prefer Airbnbs, especially ones that influencers have stayed in and grammed about. I love my mattress at home and my feather pillow. I insist on showering, flushing, flossing, brushing every night before bed. I'm not up for repeat clothing and definitely not sharing baths. The trajectory of my life is towards comfort. Now, you might love camping, but I'd suggest that the camping equipment you use now and the conditions are far better than what they once were. I'm sure I'm not alone. We lean in towards comfort. But I feel like there's something in this invitation from Jesus. Blessed are the persecuted for doing what's right is an invitation into discomfort, especially when that discomfort is about standing up for something we know is right. Here we're invited to be part of creating God's kingdom in spite of discomfort. Jesus is saying you'll actually be happiest, you'll be blessed when you push into discomfort, when you give up your time, your money, your control of situations to protest, refugees, war, poverty, to give up your night's rest, to watch over the Marucci sleep bus, to spend your Saturday mornings delivering or collecting items for disadvantaged people through the Lifehouse. And yeah, you might suffer discomfort because of it. You might suffer persecution for doing any of these things. But that's the invitation here, to act on our convictions, not make excuses, but to reach beyond comfort and seek what's right. So let's pause together for a moment and ask you to think of an issue or an injustice which you have ignored or maybe only passively engaged with in the past. Think about situations where you continue to seek comfort rather than doing what you know is right and loving. Picture it. I ask you, or I invite you, to take a deep breath and say these words with me. Lord, help me seek righteousness, embrace discomfort, and fight for what is most real and true. Blessed are those persecuted for doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second thought here is a call to surrender and not revenge. A few years ago, I met some friends at a venue down by the river, this river in fact, to have a drink and a catch up together. And it was a beautiful afternoon. The sun was setting and we, enjoying our time so much, we ordered some more chips despite the darkness that was setting in. The chips arrived, and I don't know about you, but I love a hot chip. There's not much that can beat it. And I was just continually throwing them into my mouth without much thought. And anyway, the bowl was coming towards an end and I dove in looking for those crispy little bits, you know, the little ones at the end, because I love them the most. And again, just putting them in my mouth. And as I did on this final occasion, I bit down and rather than experience that crisp crunch you're looking for in those end bits, I got this squish in my mouth and it was flooded with ash. I had in fact bitten down on a used cigarette butt at the bottom of this bowl of chips, and gracefully, yet dramatically, I spat the contents of my mouth back into the bowl, coughing, spluttering, dry reaching. And yeah, I sat there waiting for the waitress to come back because of this horrible experience, this injustice. I'm just an innocent customer trying to enjoy an overpriced hot chip, and yet I suffer this unexpected terrible thing goes in my mouth. Anyway, the waitress comes and we give her the bowl and my story. And while she goes, we're waiting there and we're talking about how horrible that was and the compensation I deserve for having experienced that injustice. And anyway, we wait and we wait and we wait. Nothing happens. And finally, it's time to leave. So I head for the bar And I attract the attention of the waitress again. And this time I raise my voice because surely she didn't hear me correctly the first time, because there would have been something happen. So anyway, I start to call across to her, and the manager quickly scurries across, and I'm quite shocked because I'm waiting for him to give me this long apology and offer me a banquet, some compensation, and yet he labels me a liar and tells me that no one in this restaurant smokes. Well, I lost it. I let him know about my dissatisfaction, and as I left, I let every other customer in the shop know about what had happened and warned them, because I didn't want the same injustice to happen to them. Sadly, when I got home, that wasn't the end of it. I jumped on my laptop and I madly typed away and sent the owners of this venue an angry email. Well, they replied the next morning and they apologized for the experience I had, but again, didn't acknowledge the story or my version of it. Sadly, that wasn't it for me still. I refused the very generous voucher they offered me, much to my wife's disappointment. But I said to her, look, if I accept that, it's just accepting the fact that I'm a liar, and I refuse to do that. I wrote back a reply email telling them I would in fact never dine at their restaurant again. And beyond that, I would tell every person I ever met about my experience and invite them to join my boycott. Well done, Greg. You really showed them. You really stood up for yourself. Sadly, that is often our initial response, one of defense, of revenge, of seeking compensation for the injustice we've received, to stand up for ourselves. Now, my reaction here actually reminds me of a movie I saw not that long ago. The movie's called Taken. Quite a violent movie, so not one I'm necessarily recommending, but one that really drew me in, along with many other people, because in fact they made several sequels, which I haven't seen. Anyway, for those who haven't seen it, it's the story of a father who nervously farewells his daughter as she heads overseas with a friend. The daughter arrives in France, in Paris, and shortly afterwards the father's fears are realized and she is in fact kidnapped. Shortly after, or during this process, a coincidental phone call occurs between the father and the kidnappers, and he tells them of his history in espionage and security, and offers them, hey look, if you let her go, I won't come after you. No surprise that the kidnappers refuse this generous offer, and they in fact take the daughter and her friend. Well, immediately the dad books a flight and he heads off in hot pursuit. He finds a young man and interrogates him before, tragically, in a chase, the man gets killed in a car accident. But I, the viewer, celebrate this small piece of information that the father has gained. He goes on, getting closer and closer to his daughter. The battles become more and more intense, and eventually he recovers his daughter. And in this moment, I stand to my feet and celebrate justice. Justice has happened. I enroll in jiu-jitsu class, or maybe not. Maybe just watch a couple of hours of YouTube self-defense videos and wrestle the dog. But anyway, let's pause for a moment and reflect. In this storyline, the daughter heads overseas and is kidnapped. A horrible injustice. The father pursues her, and by the end of the movie, he has actually clocked up a kill count of 37 people. I googled it. I just witnessed 37 people being murdered, and I leapt up happily in the name of justice. You see, sometimes I feel like Hollywood is teaching us that revenge equals justice. Well, we're probably too civilized to start a fight, or most of us don't own a gun. We still like to seek revenge. We like to take our frustration out in unhealthy ways, verbally. We'll tell anyone around us, like I did about the restaurant, about the injustice we suffered. But I'm not alone, am I? We all have this tendency, that first reaction. We've all suffered injustice in our lives, and we will again. Pain is inevitable. But when we choose to react in these ways, when we choose to seek revenge, the ripple of injustice only spreads. I know for me, the nervous waitress, the defensive manager, the innocent owners, all victims of how I reacted in this situation of injustice. I'd really stood up for myself. Some people might celebrate that as self-defense and telling them what was really right and true. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel justified in standing up for yourself in reacting in certain ways? But as I consider the wisdom that Jesus offers in this beatitude, blessed are those persecuted for doing right. Maybe I had missed the point. My reaction had looked more like revenge than surrender. You see, Jesus didn't say, blessed are those persecuted, for they will get revenge and their place in a Hollywood movie. I believe that Jesus is saying, happiest are people who surrender their right for revenge, who actually take a deep breath and seek a peaceful resolution. I reflect on the story of Easter as told in Luke 23, verse 33 to 34. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. A refusal to engage in revenge, but to surrender. Let's pause together and reflect. Can you think of someone that you're at odds with? Someone who you feel that has treated you badly or unjustly in their words or their actions? Picture them in your minds. Take a deep breath and I invite you to say these words with me and offer them a blessing if you feel comfortable. May they find peace, embrace goodness and love, and experience what is most real and true. Blessed are the persecuted for doing what's right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The third implication of this beatitude is to be intentional and not apathetic. I'm not sure if you can notice through the camera lens, and despite my wearing my wife's tanning lotion to get me through winter, but I'm Caucasian. I'm also an Australian, heterosexual Christian male. Not that I want to enter into any debates, but I want to pause and recognize my privileged situation that I'm in. In recent history, I've probably attracted the least amount of persecution, but am part of a group that has probably caused the most harm and hardship to other groups. Now, despite our diverse backgrounds, the fact that you're streaming this online, you're probably in a similar situation to me. And the final invitation of this beatitude, I think, has two parts to it. Practically, it's for us to be grateful and to remember and to look outwards to ensure that within this system that we live in, we minimize our impact on creation and on people. We speak out and take action where we see injustice. To not be apathetic consumers of goods and services when so much information is available to us. To be ethical consumers, to be caretakers of creation and people. And secondly, to acknowledge that we're all human. We are not perfect. We are not all-knowing. We are not God. Sounds obvious, but I feel sometimes we forget that we are all a combination of our genetics and our experiences. And these two things vary greatly. Hannah shared last week about our tendency towards in-group and out-group thinking. And knowing this, as people, we must be intentional. Choosing to look through the lens of love and empathy. We must not be the oppressors, the persecutors. We mustn't be ones creating barriers between us and God, in and out groups. We are Christ's ambassadors on a mission here to create this countercultural kingdom that this beatitude calls us to. Clinging to what we know is certain, that God is a loving God and that we are made to be loved and to love others. To be quick to listen, to be slow to speak. Later on in this same passage, just after the Beatitudes, We read from Matthew 5, "You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." I invite you to pause with me again and reflect. As previous perpetrators of injustice, we, me included, receive this blessing. May we, or you, find peace, embrace goodness and love, and experience what is most real and true. Blessed are those persecuted for doing what is right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus presents in this beatitude a radical alternative, both in his words, but also in his actions, the way of surrender. There was no behavior intention gap for Jesus. He calls us to this same life of action, to stand up for what we know is right, not to seek convenience and comfort. Jesus showed us the way of surrender, processing pain without transmitting it to others, to stop that ripple of injustice. When we choose to live counterculturally, to love our enemies and bless those who offend and persecute us, we embody Christ and we bring a glimpse of heaven here and now. We stand for goodness and love. This beatitude invites us to move from the posture of oppression and retaliation and revenge to nonviolent resistance, the way of surrender. Blessed are those who are persecuted, who are mistreated for doing good, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I hope something I've shared today resonates with you. I hope you do something now to bridge that knowledge intention gap. In closing, I want to offer you this blessing. May we resist evil, embrace suffering, commit to doing good no matter what the cost, and walk in the way of surrender.